welcome to the first proper episode of Black Cat Astronomy, the podcast where the guy with the ridiculously sexy accent talks about things astronomy related. I thought we'd start things off easy by talking about constellations. But why? This is a science podcast, and constellations have no scientific value whatsoever. They don't tell us anything about the nature of the universe, how a star works, how planetary systems form, how podcasters evolve on those planets, and so on. So why bother with constellations at all? The short answer is, because they are very convenient. As humans, we have an inbuilt desire to see patterns in the world around us, to create a world in our heads that makes sense to us. It's just one of those things that help us deal with everyday life. For as long as there were humans looking up at the night sky, those people have been drawing join-the-dot pictures on the starry skies to construct some kind of order in what they saw. Archaeological studies suggest that prominent star patterns were depicted in paintings on the ceiling of a cave at Lascaux in southern France 17,300 years ago. This would make those paintings the oldest known record of what today we would call constellations. Among other things, the paintings show an aurochs, a large wild bull that is sadly extinct today. On its face, you can see the stars forming the open star cluster known as the Hyades, with the bright red star Aldebaran as his eye. Even today, this star cluster is known as the face of the modern-day constellation of Taurus the Bull. Today, Aldebaran is often referred to as the red eye of the bull. So when you look at the constellation of the Bull, you're looking at a join-the-dot picture in the sky 17,300 years old. Well, as far as we know, the constellation is a lot older than that. That is just how old the oldest picture we have of it is. Above the Bull, in roughly the position you would see them in the real sky, are the six brightest stars of the Pleiades, the most prominent open star cluster in our skies. The Pleiades figure prominently in most any culture's star lore. While some of the traditional star pictures are specific to just one culture or geographic region, a large number of the more recognizable constellations are shared across a great number of cultures and continents. This is because of how the human brain works. There are some studies that suggest that our brain may be hardwired to see certain patterns in the starry sky, and therefore force us to come up with the same constellations, no matter our geographical location or cultural background. Stars that are of similar brightness, close to each other, or form continuous lines are usually perceived as grouped together, forming the patterns we know as constellations. The Pleiades depicted in the cave painting at Lascaux are an excellent example of stars grouped together in every culture star lore. So there is some science in constellations. They may not be able to tell us anything about what is going on out there in the cosmos, but they can teach us something about how our brains construct meaning in the world we live in. However, the fact remains that every culture that ever existed has their own constellations. And even where the patterns are shared with other cultures, they still have their own name and cultural significance. There are literally thousands of them. And that can be quite confusing if you try to talk about those things with someone who is from somewhere else. They will have no clue what you're on about. For example, when I talk about the anchor or the stingray, chances are that you have no clue what stars I'm referring to. But when I mention the Southern Cross, I can be confident that most of you have at least heard about it before. Yet all those names refer to the same group of stars. To end this confusion, in 1930, the International Astronomical Union came together and agreed upon 88 official constellations covering the entire visible sky. So far, we've been talking about constellations as pattern or join-the-dot pictures in our starry sky. The International Astronomical Union, however, defines a constellation as an area with its boundaries defined by celestial coordinates. Those boundaries have been set up to match the traditional patterns like the aurochs from more than 17 millennia ago, so they still come with semi-official join-the-dot pictures. Thanks to that work, we now have 88 reasonably easy to remember constellations that every astronomer on this planet should be able to use without digging through obscure and hard to find cultural databases. If you want people to understand what you're talking about, I strongly suggest sticking to the official constellations. Since our brain is basically a pattern recognition machine, we see those constellations every time we look up in the night sky. And that is what makes them very useful in everyday life. Let's talk about Betelgeuse, a very interesting star that certainly deserves to get its own podcast episode at some point. I could tell you that you can see that star at a right ascension of roughly 5 hours, 55 minutes and 10 seconds, and a declination of about 7 degrees, 24 minutes and 25 seconds. Based on those coordinates alone, how many of you know where to look for it? Be honest. To find Betelgeuse, you would need to use your geographical position, the time of the year and the time of the night to translate those coordinates into something like, for example, 60 degrees east and 20 degrees above the horizon. Then you have to figure out those angles and you know where to look. That's a lot of effort, so instead I can say Betelgeuse is the red shoulder star of Orion the Hunter, and many of you will immediately be able to spot it. Much easier. For tens of thousands of years, humans have used the patterns our brains construct in the sky to determine when to plant and harvest crops, when to go out hunting, and of course how to navigate across large distances. If you know your constellations, a quick look around the sky will give you a reasonably good idea of your location and the current date and time. Sure, I would not set my watch by looking at the stars, but you still get a good sense of where and when you are. It certainly happens to me that I look up at the night sky and think to myself things like, my son's birthday is coming up, time to plan for the party. Or, we are a bit off course, let's head a few degrees further east. Of course, in the age of smartphones with inbuilt GPS and calendar, that is not as useful a skill to have as it was even a few hundred years ago. But it is still a pleasant thing to do. And humans are not the only ones doing this. Dung beetles use the bright band of the Milky Way to navigate the desert. Migratory birds use the stars to help finding their way on their long voyages. There's even some evidence suggesting that seals use the stars to find their way back to shore after nighttime hunting trips. Maybe I should do an episode on animals navigating by the stars. Probably not right away. For now, it's probably better to stay focused on more astronomy-related topics. Let me know if you disagree. If you want to learn how to recognize the 88 official constellations, I highly recommend Stellarium, an excellent program that simulates the night sky on your computer. I put a download link in the description. Or you can get one of the many star-finding apps for your mobile phone. I don't have a real recommendation for that, but I can tell you that I'm using SkyMap. It's simple, free, and runs well on my somewhat elderly phone. For me, it does not need to be fancy, because I prefer to do the fancy stuff on a proper computer with plenty of power and a big comfortable screen. Start off with a few easy to spot constellations such as Orion or Scorpius, and then start filling in the gaps with the harder to recognize constellations. As mentioned before, constellations do not have a scientific value in themselves, but they make navigating the night sky a lot easier and more convenient for the amateur stargazer. Remember, just because our brain sees a pattern in the stars, that doesn't necessarily mean that the stars joined in a constellation are related or even close to each other. And you certainly can't use them to predict the future or get life advice. Just because Mars is, at the time of this recording, in the constellation of Aries, that does not mean that tonight you're going to trip over your neighbor's cat and break your leg. That kind of thing is just high-level bovinification. I know there are some people around who claim otherwise, but they are very clearly wrong. Mars does not care about you, your neighbor's cat, or anything else that happens here on Earth. Being a planet, I highly doubt Mars has the ability to care about anything at all. You don't believe me? Well, if you could predict, let's say, next weekend's lottery numbers by the position of celestial objects in our skies, those guys would be filthy rich. They are not. So, case closed. What constellations can do for you is to help you find your way around the night sky, to spot some of the objects we are going to talk about in this podcast, and if you're willing to put in a bit of time and effort, also to tell the time and find your way back home the next time you get lost on your hiking trip. And what could be more satisfying than that? Until the next episode, thank you very much for listening. Ad Astra.